Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 15. This week we are studying Exodus chapters 14 through 17. And this is the continuing saga of Moses and the deliverance of the children of Israel. And to me, this week's lesson is just bursting with mental health and personal improvement applications. And we'll get to a couple of them, but there's so many. But I want you to remember the counsel that Nephi gives in 1 Nephi 19:23. And Nephi says, "I did liken all scriptures unto us, that it might be for our profit and learning." So I hope you do this when you read the scriptures. Think of these people as real. Think of what you would have done in their situations. To me, it makes the scriptures come alive and also makes them more applicable. The scriptures were written for us, and they are for our benefit. So the more that we apply them to ourselves, the more help we're going to get, the more growth we're going to experience. So you've got catching up with what's happening in the Old Testament. You've got a grieving Pharaoh who has decided to let the children of Israel go. Now, this group of people is massive, probably somewhere between 500,000 and 1,000,000. I think later in the book of Numbers, they do a count and it's close to 1,000,000. They may have grown in the meantime, who knows? But anyway, you're dealing with huge numbers of people. Trying to move them would be a logistical nightmare. Trying to feed them would be a logistical nightmare. So all these problems that Moses is experiencing. I'm going to jump ahead in the story real quick, only because I want to end with the Red Sea story. But let's have a quick discussion of manna. So trying to feed all these people is practically impossible in the desert, but the Lord sends this bread that descends from heaven every day, and the people are able to collect it and eat it. Manna actually literally is translated as, "What is it?" They didn't really know exactly what it was, but it provided food for them. There was only enough manna for the day. It could not be stockpiled, except for the day before the Sabbath. The day before the Sabbath, you could collect 2 days worth, so they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. otherwise, if you tried to take more than you needed for one day, when you woke up the next morning, that other portion was spoiled and you couldn't eat it. There are so many applications in this concept, and here is one, just the value of work. I think sometimes we wish that we could do a bunch of spiritual or personal improvement and then just coast for a while, you know, work really, really hard for a couple months and really improve ourselves and then not have to work for, you know, another 6 to 8 months, but that's not the plan. I recently listened to an all-in podcast with my friend Morgan Jones Pearson, where she interviewed Elder David A. Bednar. I loved this podcast. I encourage you to listen to it. And Elder Bednar said this regarding personal progression: "It's not in knowing what to do. It's in the consistency of doing what we already know. The consistency is the issue. So doing every day is key. Striving every day, collecting that strange bread every day is what helps us. So don't despair if you don't feel like you're getting ahead in life. I think life is supposed to be this daily event of little steps forward, maybe a step backward or so, but learning to be consistent and keeping our covenants, just like collecting that bread every day, getting just enough nourishment for every day. That's how Heavenly Father wants us to do. So let's go back to the Red Sea. Pharaoh, after having released his army of slaves, has had a change of heart, and he no longer wants them freed. So he sends his armies to pursue. And you can imagine a group of that size doesn't turn on a dime. They've reached the borders of the Red Sea, unaware yet that they're being pursued, and they're trying to figure a way across. Now, it's going to take weeks to walk around. It's hundreds of miles to get around the borders of the Red Sea. I suppose if they had equipment or other things, they could have built vessels to cross. So they're probably deliberating, how are we going to get to the other side of this? And then the armies come bearing down. They no longer have any time for any of the options that they had previously considered. And kind of cue the whining for the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. "And they say unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Translation, Moses, you've plunged us to our deaths. It was way better being slaves in Egypt. Moses responds in faith in verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I love that. And then the Lord reveals his arm in verses 15 and 16. The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thou thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. We know what happened. That's exactly what happened. The Red Sea divided in half. The children of Israel crossed through on dry ground. The armies of Pharaoh were consumed in the water after the Israelites were spared. Here's another quote from Morgan's interview with Elder Bednar. First, we act in accordance with the teachings of Christ. Then we are blessed with power. Most of the time, we want it to be just the opposite. Please give me the power so I can act. And it doesn't work that way. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. We hear the teachings of Christ, and then we apply them. Action comes first, then power follows. Moses led the people. Following the Lord's command, they wouldn't have been at the Red Sea had they not left Egypt. They acted first, and then the power followed. In Doctrine and Covenants 8, verses 2 and 3, it says, or verse 3, I guess, Now behold, this is the spirit of revelation. Behold, this is the spirit by which Moses brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground. There's a lot to unpack in that statement. We don't have time to talk about it. Elder Holland does a great job of doing it and explaining the relationship between revelation and earnest seeking. And we'll talk about it at a different time. But it's related to this week's application, because I'm going to ask you to take a step that maybe you haven't taken before. Every single one of us is caught between the Egyptian armies and the Red Sea in one way or another. We feel stuck. We don't know the way forward. And to know the way across, we need revelation. We need more information than we currently have. Well, how do we get that revelation? We have to ask. We have to prepare ourselves and ask our Father in heaven to teach us. How do we get across? Is he going to divide the sea for us? Is he going to have us build a barge like he did with the Jaredites? Are we going to walk around the edge? We might do that as well. Something, he's going to do something for us that's going to help us escape that. So here's what I want you to do for this week's application, or what I invite you to do for this week's application. I want you to think of a challenge that you're currently facing and that you're not sure how to handle. And then over the course of days and weeks, I want you to prayerfully ask the Lord to teach you what you need to do to defeat that challenge. And I invite you to use those very specific words. Heavenly Father, teach me what I need to do in order to meet that challenge. If you sincerely ask him and are ready to do what he is willing to teach you, get ready for revelation. It's going to happen. And then over the course of days and weeks, I want you to carefully listen to the Holy Ghost, listen for those teachings, and then start to craft that plan of deliverance. Find that way that you're going to get through or around or over your own personal Red Sea. Thanks for listening. And until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action. And to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.ldspsychologist.com.